Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I didn't even know the words.
We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine.
Yeah. I heard myself back on this podcast, like someone was playing back the thing. Yeah. I was hearing us singing to something and I went, oh, I'm glad that's not what we do for a living.
That shit's bad.
That's bad. And people still ask us for our songs, man. But I don't know why.
In a place where, what was the Yellow Submarine about? That was the Beatles, and they had, one of the songs they wrote in Rishikesh was Yellow Submarine.
Was it Yellow? Did they write that in Rishikesh?
Yeah.
Do you remember the day that we went looking for that ashram in Rishikesh? Oh my god! Because we had just driven for like years.
22 hours.
And then we tried, the Indian driver tried to rip us off. Yeah. And then the next day we decided we were going to go to like find this ashram. And we went backwards. We went around Rishikesh maybe at least 3.5 times before we actually found
on
it.
On foot.
On foot.
But when we found it, remember when we found it? We were like, wow. And how as we cool got through the gate, the guy goes, sort of be very careful in there. There's wild elephants walking around. Like, what? Yeah, they'll trample you. They'll kill you.
That was a really good. We stayed an extra week that time. Remember, we went up into the mountains. We went over to Ramana's garden and stuff. But that day we were like forever looking for that ashram.
Yeah.
And you got approached like a million times by different like Indian dudes just being like.
Do you need a guide?
Yes.
Are you a guide? I am now.
Every Indian's a guide.
Everybody
in India
is a guide. Don't worry.
That was so cool. I love India.
Yeah. Everybody.
It feels like it's been years since we were there. And it's only been a few months, but it feels like years, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a promotional video come out to you today. It was awesome.
Isn't it good?
Mm. Okay.
So let's talk, Michi Moo. We wanted to cover, like, we wanted to go down a little bit further from the last podcast.
Well, I want to just emphasize that we're not going down a rabbit hole. We're talking about the rabbit hole. The only time you're down a rabbit hole is when you go down it, right? Otherwise, you're just looking at it and it's a hole. You know, you have a choice to fall in there or a choice to fucking not fall in there, right? Would you agree?
Yeah.
So, but people get sucked in to those holes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's, you know.
So, yeah, we wanted to talk a little bit more about, because last time we were talking a little bit about, what are we talking about? About just how we, the fact that we have to be responsible for what we, like how we think and the fact that we can't put our, if we want to do anything about our own lives and about our own experiences, we have to take responsibility for the way that we think, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking a little bit about that and the assumptions that people make that, you know, everything that's out there is just one-sided plus or, you know, and or that, you know, they have the best of intentions but they don't realise that there's perhaps other agendas playing out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were talking about that and we thought, okay, let's go a little bit deeper into like talking a little bit more about what's happening in the world at the moment and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, but I think that I think, you know, something came up in my feed today.
Yeah.
Right. Did you know that Fauci, right, went to college with Bill Gates and was in the same room? So the head of the CDC was in the same room. In the same, obviously in the same dorm, in the same room as Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Right? And the organization that is in phase three of the production of the vaccine, in phase three of the production of the vaccine, and they already have a vaccine.
Yeah.
They according to this, they've already got a vaccine.
Yeah.
They're just waiting, you know, they're just waiting.
To the appropriate time to
release the vaccine. Yeah. And he was head... the first place that he ever became the CEO of a pharmaceutical company was this particular company that's producing this vaccine, which is funded also by Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
And in the October 2019, they were prepping for a pandemic and the pandemic then was released. They were prepping and there's live footage of them prepping about how they were going to do it, what they were going to release. And then the pandemic happened in January, February.
Yeah.
right? And then suddenly there's an issue and, hey, Presley, that's okay.
They had a simulation of a novel coronavirus in October, I think it was,
In October 2019. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did,
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, isn't it fucking crazy how many of you listeners right on the other end of this podcast right now have got completely fucking hooked in to what I just said?
Well, the thing is that...
some of them will be sitting there going, oh my God, really? And then others will be sitting there going, oh, for fuck's sake, what are these guys talking about? Why are they talking about that? Who cares? Just get me the jab, get me the vaccine. I just want to get vaccinated, da 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 da. Or others will be going, oh my God, we need to just get him and they all need to be dragged in front of the courts and they all need to be thrown in jail or fucking executed and they should be held accountable for all the deaths and insanity.
Either way, what you've said has caused some sort of a reaction, right?
Yes.
Is basically what we're saying.
Yeah.
And the thing is that when, like, you just spouted out some stuff that you've heard, right? And
came into my feed.
Right. And that stuff, right,
yep.
can be true,
yep.
can be not true,
mm-hmm.
can be partly true.
Mm-hmm.
Either way,
mm-hmm.
the thing is that because you've said it, certain people will take that on board, listen to it, and then attach an emotion or attach a feeling to what you've said. They'll either be angry, they'll be frustrated, they'll be annoyed, they'll be like astounded, whatever.
But they'll also position themselves as either in the left or the right, as either pro the savior wanting to be saved, or the victim, or the predator, or the prey, and they'll move themselves into that position.
Right.
You understand? So they move themselves emotionally into a position.
Yep.
And they're being outwardly influenced by data that comes across their feed from either a left or a right, someone else that's lost in that position, and is sensationalizing you and me or anybody who's watching that stuff.
Mm.
And the problem, and I think that... The problem is the people are hooking into it, but the opportunity, I think, is what we really want to talk about today.
Yeah, and I think that's the message for today, right? Just because we're saying it or just because you've come out and spouted some stuff doesn't mean anything
mm-hmm.
unless you put meaning on it, unless somebody puts meaning on it, right?
That's right.
So it's happening around everywhere at the moment. Like I saw on somebody's feed the other day that they'd put an image of, now they've just... said that the coronavirus is the common cold or whatever. And it was a total fabrication of the website. It was just a portion of the website to make it look like someone now has come in and admitted that the coronavirus is just the cold. But that is deceptive and people then take that on board and attach a feeling to it. Mm-hmm. They go, oh, fuck, that's ridiculous. It's either stupid because that person didn't do enough information or research, or, oh my God, I can't believe that this is actually coming out now and we were right all along. Either way, it's polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, internally, something is going on to make us feel one way or the other mm-hmm. and for us to feel like we're pushed and pulled from it, right?
Right.
Okay. So when we're having these conversations, what we're trying to say at the moment, really, you and I, is that the information and the energy that we give to the information that we're receiving is causing the problem. It's not the information that's causing the problem, and it's not what's happening out there that's causing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we perceive the information that's causing the problem.
So it's what you're doing when you receive that information. What is happening internally inside of you emotionally, that's what's causing. So that releases the stress factors as a result of that. It can cause dis-ease. You become out of balance. You're not you're extrinsically driven, meaning you're driven by a perception of the left or the right.
Well, something extrinsic is outside.
Yes, and then what's put inside of your mind is that you feel a sense of nobility to follow something that is lopsided and has no substance to it, is not real, and now you're outwardly influenced.
So people are thinking, right, that because they perceive they're on the right side of whatever it is, whether they're agreeing or disagreeing with what's being said, they're thinking that that's not affecting them.
Yes.
Instead of understanding that it's actually their perception about what's happening, not what's happening. That's what's happening out there. Whether there's a war.
Yeah.
Whether Fauci was in school or whatever with Bill Gates. Yeah. Whether Bill Gates' dad did whatever he did. Whether Bill Gates is funding whatever he's funding. Whether Trump is okay or not okay. Whatever's going on out there. There is nothing we can do about that. Mm-hmm. That is something that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
What we can do is how we can figure out and look at how we're perceiving what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, the two of those things are getting mixed up. We're getting mixed up with the fact that we're thinking that this thing over here is right or wrong, and we think that that is the issue. The mm-hmm. right or wrongness of Fauci or Trump or Gates or whatever is the issue. But it's not. It's because that's something that is out of your control. What's in your control is how you perceive Fauci, Gates, Trump, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The perception is where the power lies. And you, with having the perception, whoever's got the perception is the one that's in charge of having the power to do something about it.
Yeah.
Right? Because the only thing that is in your control, we just had a great conversation with Demartini, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's in your control is your perception, your decisions mm-hmm. and your actions.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only things he was talking about that you can actually do.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 100% spot on. Because I can't sit here and go, oh, I'm going to change you, Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
When you start listening or when you start being attentive or when you start whatever, that my life's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I have no control over what you do,
mm-hmm.
but I have a control over my actions, my mm-hmm. decisions and my perceptions about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that there I can do something about.
So say that again because I think it's an important message. Yeah.
So I can't do anything about your, you know, whether you let's use a kid for an example, right?
Yeah.
Whether a kid is listening to me or whether a kid is being angry or whether the kid is learning at school, I can't do anything about that. But what I can do is I can work on my perception of the kid.
Yeah.
I can work on my decisions yeah. and I can work on my actions.
Your decisions about what you do.
About what I can do.
Yeah.
And my decisions are in the middle of that. And Demartini was talking about that. He said, your perceptions, your decisions and your decisions are actually in the middle of that because your decisions help you choose what actions you will take and also what perceptions you'll take.
Yeah.
Right? What perception is running you. But we think that that kid is the problem or we think that the partner is the problem or the boss is the problem or Fauci is the problem or Gates is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
All of those are things that are outside of us. That's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
What the issue is, and we can call it an issue, but it's actually also not an issue or a problem, it's an opportunity, is our perceptions and what's going on inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we touched on this in the last podcast when we were talking about responsibility because we said at the end of the day, you've got this subconscious thing that's running you that's going to give you this confirmation bias about whatever you're going to see is going to confirm your story. If you want this story confirmed, you're going to see that story mm-hmm. and you're going to see that it's correct unless you are able to step outside of that and take responsibility for the fact that perhaps the way you're seeing things is a bit skewed, what you're hearing from things is a little bit skewed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. So the message I think that's important is that there's nothing we can do about that. Who cares if Fauci is doing that? Who cares if Bill Gates is doing that?
Yeah.
What's going on out there is not something I can actually control right now. For me.
So then you have to think of it like this. The degree to which you get caught up in your objectivity, as long as you're caught in the objectivity of right and left, good and bad, peace and war, happy and sad, that is what keeps you away from your certainty.
Well, that's no, but hang on a
hold
second.
Hold on. Let me finish or I'll hit you with me, Mike. Objectivity is on the way to certainty. So certainty comes about as long as we stop being objective, meaning left, right, good.
That's subjective. You've got it wrong. That's what I'm trying to say to you.
Oh.
Yes. So the subjective is left, right. I'm making a choice to seek. Subjective is where your opinions colour it.
Yeah.
So the subjective is right, wrong, left, right, up, down, good, bad.
Mm-hmm.
When you're objective, mm-hmm. you're certain.
How?
Because when you're objective, uh-huh. you're in that middle point. There is no coloration. It's like a swimmer wins the race because they touch the wall first. That there's no personal subjection of my opinions or perceptions on top
you're
of
not
it.
Caught in
I'm not caught in it. So the subjectivity mm-hmm. keeps us caught. The objectivity is when we're certain.
Mm-hmm.
When there's nothing, when there's no there, it's just what it is.
I think how I'm seeing it or trying to portray it is that even if when we're objective, we're still seeing it as two separate things. So I think I wonder if that, you know, I'm not subjective. So I get it. I'm not subjective. I'm objective. I'm observing both things. But there's a point after objectivity where we just see it as one. And I think what you're saying is seeing it as one is being objective.
Is being objective, because when you're seeing it as one, mm-hmm. right, you don't colour it with left, right, mm-hmm. good, bad, right and wrong. Mm-hmm. It is just what it is. And what it is love.
So
what it is wholeness.
To objective to seeing it as one.
Well, objective is seeing it as one. It's the wholeness. Mm-hmm. It's not – there is no plus or minus in an objective point of view.
Yeah.
If a swimmer wins a race because they've touched the wall at a certain time, there's no plus or minus around that. The plus or minus comes if you have a preference for one swimmer to win the race than another swimmer.
So that's
the subjective. So the objectivity is the certainty. And at the moment we're making everything subjective.
Yeah.
We're looking at everything and saying it's good or it's bad, it's right or it's wrong. I'm going to colour this with my opinion because I want to disown the parts of me mm-hmm. that are in that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at Fauci and I'm going to go, I don't like those parts of me that I'm seeing in him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at Trump and I'm going to say, I don't like the parts of me that I'm seeing in him. Or I'll do the opposite. I'll go, I'm going to look at Fauci and like all these parts on him because I can own those things in myself. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to like those parts on Trump because I can own those things in myself. The truth about it is that when you get to a point of objectivity, when you see that it's neither one or the other, they have mm-hmm. an equal balance of plus and minus just mm-hmm. like we do, mm-hmm. at that point you have your certainty.
So then I know people will be out there going, so how are we going to stop them then? You know, you guys are just saying to ignore it and you know, and do nothing. And
well,
no,
we're
that's
actually
not. What we're saying.
Yeah.
We're saying you have to understand that the outer world is you. When you understand that you are the outer world, you are everything, then you'll realize the opportunity that's coming about in what you're creating in your reality to see your own divinity and understand what you are and why it is you're here and what it is you're here to do. Because the only thing you can do is what it is you are here to do.
100%.
You can't do anything about that stuff. So we go from that subjective sense of lostness to an objective view of who we are so that we can evolve.
Yes.
And the quicker we all evolve, you know, and the quicker we get back to that point and meaning in your actions and what you do daily, you know, and like one of the actions is deleting that shit from your feed. Anybody that's posting that stuff, get it out. You know, even if you have to put
it's not
Facebook,
even getting it out. It's about putting it aside. So here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. The thing that we're talking about is that we have to get to a point, if we want to have any chance, mm-hmm. right, we have to control what we can control. Mm-hmm. And what we can control, again, is our perceptions, our decisions and our actions, mm-hmm. right? Now, we feel out of control, yes, mm-hmm. when we're doing things that are not in line with our values. We have our owned and disowned parts, and you, a kid will know, right, that when they want to be playing a video game and mum's trying to make them do their maths homework, mm-hmm. that there's parts in them that they're not wanting to own. They're disowning. They're not a whole full certain version of themselves, right? Because they're trying to do something, but it doesn't match them. There's disowned parts there. When we can come together as a whole and go, this is what I love, this is what lights me up, this is what my mission is, this is what my value is, and I'm going to spend my life as much as possible doing the highest priority tasks and delegating the lowest priority tasks, those things there, when I'm doing those things, they light me up. They fill me up.
Yeah.
When you are full, you don't have room for others' subjective bullshit or others' whatever's going on around you, right? Because you're so full of my mission and my purpose here is to bring, I don't know, whatever, teach children. My mission and my purpose is to do X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. I'm so focused on that that it doesn't matter what a dude on a podcast named after a dealer is telling me about Fauci or Gates, right? Because it doesn't mean anything. It my certainty about why I'm here is more important. Mm-hmm. That means that me getting on Facebook and scrolling for the sake of scrolling, is that in my highest value? Because if it's not, then that should be something I'm delegating. And we're not always going to live as like we're not always we're going to have moments where we're doing low priority stuff, right? But it's about being aware of how close we are to being on purpose, on target, on vision, on mission. Because when we're doing that, the other stuff is irrelevant. The Facebook thing is irrelevant. It's not even about deleting it off your feed. Is Facebook really a necessity in what you're needing to be doing? Is that here? Is that part of your purpose? Or is it like, are you going to take on board the things that you see in here? Or no, you've got too much to do over here. Over here, I've got my vision and my mission, and that's what I'm going
to
get my focus on.
So you're saying you don't even need to do that. You don't even need to do it.
It doesn't even play a role, right? And I know that we're sitting here saying this, and we are just as subject by falling by the wayside with some of that stuff and being off purpose at times than anybody else is. So we're not doing this and preaching this from a place of, oh, we're perfect and you should listen to us, in the sense that we always do things perfectly. But what I'm saying is that your awareness that you're off focus and vision is going to help you to understand that that's where, if you've got a problem with what's going on outside of you, it's because you're not attached and you're not focused in terms of your vision and your mission. You are allowing yourself to be guided. Now, what happens when we're on focus and vision, right, is we become alive. And everybody knows that you'll be able to, you know, when you're out on the bike, Mitch, you just come alive, right? You just feel like you're, you know, in tune. When you're in India at times, it's like this is what you love to do. When you're in a relationship, it's new. You love that, right? So in those moments, does the bullshit on Facebook matter?
No.
None of it matters because you're so fulfilled that is not necessary.
So I think that's an important point there, because I know people will be sitting there going, but I don't know what to do to make me feel that sense of fulfillment. But the truth about it is, you know, it's hidden in plain sight. It's right in front of you. You do know what to do.
Well, here's the thing, right? Because the media, for example, right, we utilize the media, and Facebook is the media and Twitter is the media, Instagram is the media now. That's we don't sit and watch the news anymore, but we still watch our Facebook feeds, and that's where we get our news. So that fulfills you, or like in apostrophe, like in quotation, it fulfills you if you're feeling unfulfilled.
Yeah.
And it actually doesn't fulfill you, but it fills some sort of gap if you're feeling unfulfilled, right? It's designed to sensationalize. It's designed to sensate. And sensate is to cause sensation, or to experience things through your senses through an outside source without you having to be there. And if you're not feeling alive and vibrant and energetic and fulfilled by your highest purpose, you will search for something that's going to sort of sidestep for that for you. So you will hook into the drama
and give you a false sense
and give
of purpose.
You the false sense of purpose. Because now we're all fucking politicians.
Yeah.
We all know about the freaking US election.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about Dan Andrews. I didn't even know Dan Andrews' name before all this fucking thing happened. And I'm hopeless at politics, right? I now know who Mark McGowan is because I never knew. You know me. As soon as someone talks politics, anything, I'm out. But now, like, I have moments where I'm a freaking expert at stuff because I get hooked in, and then I'm like, hang on a second. That is not there for me to get hooked in on. That is a distraction. Me allowing myself to get distracted by something outside of me because I'm not allowing myself to be fulfilled within. That the sense of freedom, that sense of purpose, that doesn't come outside. Dan Andrews hasn't got – if Dan Andrews has got the key to my fucking freedom,
yeah,
or Mark McGowan does, mm-hmm, well, then I have a fucking problem,
mm-hmm,
because then I'm waiting for him to make decisions in order for me to feel okay.
Yeah, so that's an important point. You know, we're watching, we're waiting on the media to, people are waiting on the media to change their mind or broadcast something different before we feel different.
100%.
And so therefore, if we've lined our lives up like that, well, the media, an organism, is never going to annihilate its reason to live. So it has to perpetuate the problem, because in perpetuating the problem and maintaining the fear so that people can feel lost, it's doing its purpose. It's all clickbait. That's what it needs to do, that stuff. You know? So I know that people are sitting there going, oh, now that I've heard this, I'm just not gonna hook into that again. I'm just not gonna get caught in that again.
Mm.
Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm. I think that people are gonna be more aware of that when they're taking on board what's happening next. So I just want to say something else about that. That when we're not acting out of love, mm-hmm, and full love for ourselves, we, mm-hmm, end up acting out of fear,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So our fear then runs, our perceptions. We're then pushed and pulled. So we either fear the things that we're afraid of losing,
mm-hmm,
right? We have fear of losing things that we are infatuating with. Mm-hmm. Or we fear gaining things that we resent.
Yeah.
The two types of fears.
Yeah.
Right?
So you fear losing the girlfriend.
That you love.
Yeah.
Or you feel gaining the girlfriend that you hate.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like you feel losing the fear. Feel the fear of losing what you resent.
Mm-hmm. So it's like losing what you fear losing the food, but you fear losing the food, or you fear, you know, gaining somebody that's going to eat you.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, in that respect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Or something that's going to eat you. So it's a very primitive thing. You fear not having the food, but you also fear gaining something that's going to eat you.
Mm.
Right.
So what do you say then, Mitch, to the people that are, like, to anybody who is on an individual basis, like, how can you make a difference on such an individual level?
Well,
like,
the first thing we have to do is, you have to take responsibility for your role in it. You have to be open to the fact that you are, it's just you.
Mm.
It's just you.
Yep.
And if we understand energy, in me saying that it's just you, it's all connected.
Yeah.
There is no separation. Nothing is separate in the universe. So therefore, it hands it back to you. So the first thing people have to understand is they have to understand the fucking magnitude of that. The magnitude is that you are the universe.
Mm.
Now, people go, oh, no, you are the universe.
Mm.
You are the sun, you are the moon, you are the, you are the, every supernova that's occurring right now, you are all of it.
Mm.
Right down to the minuscule, you are the media, you are all those things. So the key then, I think, is to first off own and take responsibility. And if that's the case, then how would you treat, if you understood that power, then, and you understood that you were everything and you were awake to the fact that you are just pure energy and you can create anything that you want, is what is around you what you want to be creating? And if not, then shouldn't you be putting your energy into the reality that you do want to create? And the energy, what that means is that the energy is, what energy are you feeling inside of yourself every day? And is this, if it's fear and self-loathing and resentment towards other colors, races, creeds, decisions, left, right, is that the reality? So if that's the reality you're creating, how do you create a better reality? Well, I think that what you have to do is you have to tune into how it is you want to feel when you go to bed at night. Do you want to feel inspired and grateful in a state of love and appreciation that you've fulfilled your day, that none of this stuff even gravitates into your sphere of influence because you're just occupied with what, with making or leaving this place a better place.
Mm, I get that. I think that when I hear you talk about the fact of, like, how do you want to treat yourself in that respect and also your own magnificence and stuff, I think the biggest thing for me is knowing what's happening around the world in terms of the kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with you know, they're talking about the fact that there's thousands, like tens of thousands of kids go missing every single day,
mm-hmm.
like thousands. Like the mm-hmm. number that they talk about is astronomical. It's mm-hmm. phenomenal. And it's like it hurts me to see
mm-hmm.
It hurts me to see the figures, and it hurts me to know that if we're these magnificent beings, that this is what's happening to our kids. And we can see things on Facebook and Twitter, and I think we mentioned it in the last podcast that, you know, you've got people who are tweeting some like stuff that would turn your hair white,
mm-hmm.
talking about that in terms of their own children
mm-hmm.
and in terms of other kids. And they're getting left on these platforms. And then on the other hand, you've got people that are trying to help and are trying to bring awareness to mm-hmm. this side of the problems that we're facing in terms of that around the world. And they're getting shut down. They're getting mm-hmm. like, you know, the platforms are not allowing them to have a voice in that respect. And that's happening around the world. Like, I know
not
while
to,
you were
wait, wait, not to mention Epstein, not to mention the Clintons, well, their involvement. It's,
all of that information
Prince
has
Prince Andrew.
Well, that, all of that information has come to light, you see, because I can't remember the girl's name that was but her testimony had been sealed up until about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the testimony has now been released. And she's basically linked Clint, apart from the fact of him being linked to flight logs and stuff like that, that she's linked him to being there and, you know, being involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why?
And there's people photographic talking, evidence as well.
The photographic, and people are talking about all of this other stuff. They're talking about corona, they're talking about masks, they're talking about all this stuff. And I feel like there's not enough people talking about that. And that is very, you mm-hmm. know, to mm-hmm. me, that's confronting in the fact that nothing's being done about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there we go again. I bet that the people on the other end of this podcast right now have gone, yes, yes, absolutely. We need to talk about this. I'm so fucking angry. Oh my God, what about our children? Da, 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 da. You know, this is the point of what we wanted to say to you guys. Do you see how easy it is to get hooked in based on something that Amelia is saying to you? Do you see how simple it is to get hooked in? Now, I want to say something. Whoever's meant to be taking charge of that stuff, the lawyers, the police, whoever's meant to be taking that charge of that stuff, they're doing their job. That's their job, not your job. Your job is to do what your job is to do, which is to fulfill the higher order of your values and bring inspiration.
So here's the thing, right? The reason that we do things like that, and the reason I said all of that, right, is because I think it's important to note that we've been spent like this whole kind of podcast talking about that we've got to take responsibility, but it only takes me to say something else for people to now go, oh, hang on a second, Mills, she's right about that, or she's wrong about that, or I don't want to know about that. I want to stay blind to that. It's irrelevant what I've just said. What I've said, whether it's true or not, the only thing we can do is be the best version of ourselves, right? And as much as that may be happening, and to be honest, that's happening. It's happened for years and years and years and years.
Yep.
It is not new. It's just now coming more to the forefront, right? But ultimately, we can only control our perceptions, our decisions, and our actions.
Yeah, so you said, just get what that is again. You can only control your perceptions, Mills, your decisions, Mills, and your actions. Nothing else.
Yep. That's all you can control. So me talking about all of that stuff, I can't do anything about it. I can only do what I can do for me. Now, there are people that are doing something about it because that's their 100% their mission. And their mission is to bring awareness. Their mission is to bring down the people who are doing it. Their mission is to – there's different people with different missions that are meant to be doing that.
Yeah.
Our mission, you and I, Mitch, our mission is to help people to live life inspired.
Yeah.
And if you are spending every waking minute, because you've had people coming to you, you've had clients coming to you going, I now know what I'm here to do. I'm going to just stop everything I've been doing for the last 20 years and I'm going to go and save the children. Yeah. That is not – who is that saving?
Yeah.
That's not it's not viable. It's not going to work. What can you best do? If you've got your own children – and all your energy is being focused on to saving these other children, what about your own kids? Mm-hmm. Where is your energy and your love and your attention going? Where is your focus on your mission, or is it outside of you? Because what's happening is we get allowed to be distracted by the truth of who we are, which is where our power lies, by all of that stuff going on around us. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that you can sit on your laurels and you don't do anything. If something comes your way and you're inspired and
the greatest thing you can do is to do what is most important to you. That is the greatest thing.
That's the
you want to help the kids. You want to help. You know. You want to bring this just all that sort of stuff. It starts
with you.
You're scapegoating your own magnificence and using stories that are outside of you to rob you of your vitality and your energy and your inspiration.
Mm.
That's what you're doing.
Yep.
And then you're perpetuating the fucking issue, because when you create something as minus, you simultaneously create it as plus. You bring it in you give it vitality and life, and it continues to perpetuate. The best thing we can do is what we love and what's most important to us, and encourage other people to do the same thing.
100%. And that doesn't mean that we don't care. It means that we care the most.
Yes.
Because the best and the most important and the most empowered version of ourselves is the one who is stepping up and being truly shining our own light.
Yeah.
Because when we can shine our own light, like Marianne Williamson said, it gives other people permission to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can do that, then we allow the space for what needs to be happening out there to be happening out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in terms of the things that we can control, right, we have to step, like, it's our responsibility as human beings to take back what we can control. And like DeMartini said, perception, decision and action. Mm-hmm. So here's the two things that you can take action with. The first thing you can take action with, your decision to take action.
Mm-hmm.
And your decision to take action is something like this. What's my highest value? What do I love the most? What lights me up the most? What inspires me the most? What are my top values? And my action is to put those into place and delegate the lower priority action to someone else who it's their highest priority action.
Yeah.
Right? So the first choice you can make in terms of taking action is you take on board what you understand what your highest priority actions are, and you do your highest priority actions and delegate everything else, because then your time is spent by highest priority. And then you're as focused and as clear on mission as possible.
So so delegating is also going, I'm going to do what my highest priority action is, which is in accordance with what is most important to me. That's it. Your first three are your top seven values. And delegating is, I know that the people who are meant to be taking care of that stuff will take care of that stuff. It's delegated to them.
The lower priority
stuff. Yes, that stuff that you're seeing that is coming into your sphere of influence, delegate it out. Just let it know that the people who are meant to be taking care of that stuff are taking care of it.
And then the second action. So there's people that can't take that action for one reason or another. So, for example, if you're in lockdown at the moment, you're not going to be able to take action. Like if you lowest priority action step is cleaning and somebody else comes and cleans for you and you can't do that because you're in lockdown and they can't. Or your highest priorities is travel and you're not able to travel at the moment. Uh-huh. So you cannot take certain actions, but you can take other actions perhaps. Uh-huh. But then the next thing you have a choice about is your perceptions of what's happening.
Yeah.
So if you're not able to physically do anything in terms of your highest action, what you can do is you can shift your perception about how what's happening is affecting and leading you and impacting your highest values.
Yeah.
So right now, my highest value is travel. I can't travel, but right now, how is what I'm doing right now benefiting me, my ability to travel? How is my me doing this right now benefiting my ability to do X, Y, Z? That's my highest value.
Yep.
And you, that is in with your within your power. Mm-hmm. That is in your control. Everything else, as and remember, we will sensationalize it to the degree that we're lopsided ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if you see more positives than negatives, you're going to sensationalize it to nth degree. If you see more negatives than positives, you'll sensationalize it to that degree. But the truth about it is, the ones that are in the power and the masters, because the masters have an understanding in their hearts that everything that is happening at the moment is meant to be happening. Mm-hmm. There's no mistakes.
Yeah, and the things that are happening are just finite. They're just on the way.
And
they're just
this
on
is,
the way.
And these things
they are part of the way. You know, they're the way to drive us back inside to understand who we
are. So these things that are happening are, if I'm experiencing XYZ, the experience of XYZ is designed to help me see myself reflected in the outside world. If I'm seeing pain in the children, for example, and you know me, children's a big thing for me, so I do see that. But if I'm I can't do anything about that if I don't just start at home, if I don't start with the child inside of me and the children around me, because that's my value, that's who I am, right? So that's showing me what I'm disowning inside of myself, because it's easier for me to scapegoat everybody else that's doing it out there instead of for me to look within and go, hang on a second, I'm doing it to myself. And that is a bigger weight for me to carry than for me to worry about them, because then if I'm blaming somebody outside of me, then I don't have to understand that I am just them.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest burden. And that's why these people are around us and in our lives and in our spheres. And if they're not in your spheres, that's fine. But whatever is in your sphere that is impacting you and causing you to stay away from your vision and your mission is something that is designed to bring you back on track. Just like us walking around Rishikesh and going backwards and forwards. We were designed to get back on track eventually.
And find it.
By random tour guides. Actually, it's not a bad analogy. By random tour guides.
But I also liked the analogy of the yellow submarine because, you know, people are in lockdown in Melbourne and different parts of the world. The yellow submarine.
There you go. It worked. I don't know. Is that how – they're not in submarines, but I'll go with that. Yeah, they're kind of locked down.
I mean, they're locked down in a little place with some windows.
And they can't go anywhere.
And just rain outside. The pretty ocean.
You're another.
Okay, kids.
Did you feel like that was covered what we wanted to say there?
Yeah, for sure, 100%. I loved it. It was great.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.